May we share together in a moment of prayer. Loving God, you said, let there be light, and there was light. The gospel says the light is coming into the world, and the darkness cannot put it out. Thank you, God, for being light in our lives, for love in our lives, for your presence that brings us to peace. Amen. Do you have a favorite comfort food? You know, that food you remember from childhood, the dessert you reward yourself with, even if it's a guilty pleasure. Comfort food, so delicious, they're guaranteed to lift one's spirit. Mac and cheese, ice cream, pizza, chocolate, meatloaf and mashed potatoes, chicken soup. If we were from Afghanistan, that might be spiced spinach. Or in Russia, it could be cabbage rolls. Or in Japan, it just could be octopus. But more probably ramen. Now, don't take this too lightly. Suppose we had been among the Jewish people at the time of Isaiah the prophet. Then comfort of any sort would not have been a given. It would have felt more like a gift of grace. You see, in terms of the situation our morning scripture actually was meant to address, it was for the Jewish people who were exiles in Babylon. They had been dominated by the superpower, then decimated by war, and finally forced into refugee camps as slaves and serfs. The Jews were in exile for nearly 60 years. Then, finally, a prophecy of hope rose out of that harsh place and time of suffering, and the word of God came to the prophet Isaiah. And God said, comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is over, and she has received from the Lord already double for her sins. This section of Isaiah is such a wonderful part of one of the greatest books in the Bible. Did you know that Isaiah was written over a period of about 120 years? There were two or maybe three prophetic figures who performed the missions of Isaiah. The first one was the one who spoke out against Israel's lack of trust in God or faithfulness in God's laws. This, the prophet said, would lead to the nation's downfall, and 50 years later it did. The spoils of war, the people of Israel were forced into captivity. The stories of refugees and immigrants around the world today give just a small glimpse of how much of a struggle life must have been then also. In captivity with no homes, in a foreign culture, being punished by their captors and by God. That's pretty much how first Isaiah ends. But then, another 50 years later, Isaiah 2 picks up the narrative, this time to announce God's forgiveness. God, in love, had suffered too, anxious for the people. And in the end, God's compassion won out. In a touching reversal, God inspired Isaiah number 2 to tell the people that their trials would soon be over. Talk about comfort food. God will feed the flock like a shepherd, gather the lambs in his arms, and gently carry them home. Comfort the people. Let them rest in hopes of better days that will soon dawn. Let there come to be some peace of mind, not just the heavy burdens of captivity. Comfort, like comfort food, is any nourishment that helps provision peace of mind, a reaffirmation of selfhood, community, and hope for a new day. I once read an essay about how some refugees displaced as a consequence of the Korean War years ago kept faith. The narrative followed the lives of women who had been relocated from place to place as camps had to be moved. When a new camp was set up, some of them quickly focused on organizing groups to provide support and care for their fellow refugees. And get this, in each new camp to which they were sent, the first work group that group organized was what they called a Committee on Joy. A Committee on Joy in captivity, doing what they could to bring joy into the broken world in which they lived. Comfort. And that can literally happen with comfort food, too. In fact, have you heard about a project called the Sanctuary Kitchen? It's exactly that. The Sanctuary Kitchen is an organization that has a licensed commercial kitchen that facilitates and promotes and celebrates the culinary traditions of cultures and the stories of cultures that refugees have brought with them to this country. Each month, a different Sanctuary Kitchen cook will prepare a traditional soup or a salad and a grain from her country of origin and share that culinary and cultural experience with anyone who would like to come, particularly those from that same homeland. So, if you had been in New Haven, Connecticut last Wednesday, you would have tasted at the Sanctuary Kitchen fish soup, sauteed greens, and cornbread cooked up to go along with stories of the homeland of a refugee from the Congo. Strangers in a strange land given refuge, rest, renewal, and refreshment. Then again, last Sunday, if you were here, you heard me tell you about an effort by the UCC churches in Chicago. The United Church of Christ there had members raising money to help ease and end the medical debt of families living at or below the poverty line. Their contributions, coupled with the RIP Medical Debt Company, an organization that purchases such debt for pennies on the dollar to eliminate medical debt, helped 6,000 families. I also mentioned that on Tuesday, known as Cyber Giving Day, the United Church nationally was seeking donations to help this medical debt elimination across the country. In that one day, $75,000 was raised. The Reverend Tracy Blackman, who is the Associate General Minister of the United Church of Christ, emailed a thank you note to all contributors. She wrote that those whose debt is canceled will receive a letter that has a UCC logo on it and these words: "You may never enter the doors of one of our churches, but we are the United Church of Christ, and we love you. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And most importantly, you are beloved by God, and your debt has been forgiven." Comfort. Comfort food. How very much that would help people keep their hopes alive. They aren't just destined to live as refugees or those who exist day by day by day alone. When people care, when they're assured that even God has heard their cries, rough patches are smoothed out, and new ways forward can begin, even if it's one step at a time. What comfort it is that delivers peace of mind. Who wouldn't cherish receiving such a comforting letter such as that? One that says, you are beloved by God, and your debt has been forgiven. The prophet of old promised that it is God who sends that letter. God hears our cries. God is tested by humans, but God does not break, nor will God break the promise to love forever. So God helps heal the wounds we self-inflict and answers our prayers and provides comfort zones, safe sanctuaries, and communities for people to nourish their well-being and to learn the ways of peace. And God has even sent the Son to be at one with people exactly where we are, to show us like the light, the way home. Amen. And guess what? Oh, here he comes, just in the nick of time. They're going to have a great Christmas play, by golly.